Hello and welcome to the Comedy Club podcast right here at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. I am your host, Dustin Kaufman. Please subscribe, like, share with your friends. It's simple. Just subscribe. Click that button right there. Subscribe. Follow us across the board at the Comedy Club KC. I'm here today with the very funny Matthew Broussard. Hello. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Dustin.
Welcome back to the Comedy Club.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for
booking me.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being up here. I have to start off by saying I'm very uncomfortable with my facial hair situation right now. I had a barber mishap. It was just, I went in and I was been wearing this mohawk, which I've loved. Mm-hmm. I've loved the mohawk, and I was just wanted to get it reshaved on the sides. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Do you want your beard, anything?" I'm like, "No. Okay, just clean up the stragglers, but don't take any length off." Mm-hmm. And then she just starts shaving my mustache down from the top. She shaves it up from the bottom. And then by the next thing I know, I have this like pinstripe stash.
John Waters,
and,
yeah.
Like, this hard fade on my, and I'm not wearing my glasses, so uh-huh. It's all just a blur. I'm like, she's doing something, but I don't know what she's doing. Ooh. And so this was last Saturday, so I just go home and I'm like an emotional wreck over this. Mm-hmm. I haven't, because I used to just wear a beard until mm-hmm. I added the mustache, and I've been wearing it for like 12 years, and who is this lady? Mm-hmm. To just say, this is what you need. And I just shaved it off and started over. And then I didn't like, so then I shaved my mohawk because I didn't want to have an Abe Lincoln with a mohawk. Uh-huh. I'm like, I can't have people thinking I'm doing this on purpose.
Yeah, you look like an Amish guy on Rumspringa. Right. Yeah. it's just a mix of, yeah.
So I've shaved my hair is, uh-huh. is shaved at the moment as well.
But you have hair, huh?
I have lots of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot, and I've been really enjoying this mohawk, but the Lincoln with the hot, and then, like, it wasn't great. So I'm upper lip to the top, I'm just starting over.
I'm obsessed with mustaches. I think they're just awesome.
You would look amazing with a mustache.
I'm going to grow one. I've always meant to. My wife hates it because her dad has a mustache, which is a fair complaint. I've grown them before, but I realized the last time I grew it out, I have like very, I guess, Jewish facial hair. It goes all the way up to here. Like, it's just, there's no boundaries. I don't have the gaps here. It's just from like from here all the way down to my neck. It all grows out very thick. It doesn't flatten out ever.
I have a friend who has to shave from, like, eyes down.
Yeah, yeah. Mine goes pretty high. And same with the mustache. It goes all the way up, like Homer Simpson. So if I do it again, I have to trim the top down and cut it off on the sides. Otherwise, it's like, it looks like a comb. I have a picture of it. It's like a very sheriff-looking mustache.
We can, if you send it to me, yeah? We'll just post it. You could pull that Tom Selleck-y, you know?
Oh, that's the dream. Like, I still love...
A Jewish Tom Selleck, so it'd be like Magnum P.O.I. Yeah.
I think the Billy Crudup. Hello. what's his name? Billy Crudup in Almost Famous. That's the best looking mustache ever. He also has just like an incredibly handsome face, so like it's kind of not fair.
Yeah.
But I also have this is it. It grows in real thick.
Wow.
Yeah. I also have to color it.
But you have to shape that.
I have to shape that. That's what I didn't know
at
that
time. So how long does it take you to grow that?
4 or 5 weeks.
Okay.
And I'm going to Africa for my honeymoon. I think I'm just going
to
grow it
out
during that.
So it does take a few weeks to grow in as well. Mm-hmm. See, I know. So this is like a weekend right here. Like this is.
Yeah, and it's already a mustache.
Like, if you say so. But like I've seen.
Or it's like like 3 days away.
It takes me like 2 weeks to grow like 2 day stubble. And I see people. There are people who can like shave and then they have to shave again in like a day. It's like, oh, you, it's very, I don't have that.
Oh, really?
Like this, it's going to take me, it'll take me about that long to get back to where I wanted to be. Probably. It'll take me a few weeks or a month.
I have the first week is good. And then weeks 2 and 3 are awful. And then week 4 starts to actually look like a beard, but I don't have a good beard. It's really, it doesn't take shape. It doesn't trim down. And someone told me one time about comedy. I was like, is having a mustache make you funnier? He goes, you know how if you like waggle an eyebrow, you can kind of get like an extra laugh out of a joke?
Yeah.
Imagine having 4 of those. And that sold me on it ever since.
Do you have to shave here too?
No, I don't.
I will trim. I'll have to, like, not as much these days. I don't understand why. Maybe I just don't. But I used to more often, but I definitely have had to clean up that unibrow a few times in my life, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's a Jewish thing, I think, as well. Yeah.
It's just hair everywhere.
Hair everywhere.
And now, but I'm getting tattoos now, so they're shaving me in weird places, too.
I have hairy upper arms. Like, the hair on my arm is, like, continues that texture all the way up my shoulders. Like Wolverine.
I bet you've got really hairy balls. What's this? The Adam Sandler.
Is that from the album?
Yes, mm-hmm. The original.
They're all going to laugh at you?
Yes.
God, that's great.
Not on Spotify, by the way.
No,
and I kept looking for things from that on Spotify. He has some newer stuff, mm-hmm. but it was in my head so bad a while back, I just bought the album on iTunes. I wanted to hear it, and then I listened to the whole... It's crazy to listen back to because your Conans and Tim Meadows and just these people who you like.
They're on it?
Who, yes.
Wow.
Like, fixtures. Like Conan has so many parts on it. And it's just these people that have just become fixtures of comedy and modern pop culture. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. One of the best comedy albums and very rare. There's not a lot of sketch comedy albums.
No, it's a rare art form. I think the closest thing to that, Andy Samberg was like. I feel like for the next generation, he must have been that because he was a little after my time. And I look at his stuff and he was just so good for so long. Like some of his, even his like B-reel sketches.
Very funny.
Yeah. He's very funny.
Yeah.
He's just and like you look at some of the best sketches he was in and they don't even make sense. I was watching the Sexy Sax Guy one. Have you seen that one? No. If I described it to you, I'd sound like an idiot. It sounds so dumb if I tried to describe to you the sketch, but it works so well.
Sounds like a sexy guy playing the saxophone.
It is. It's, what's his name? John Hamm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that what you grew up on, Sandberg?
No, I'm like...
A Sandler.
Sandler, yeah. I'm mid-40s, so like, he was... that era of Saturday Night Live for me was like... Very strong.
Yeah.
The Farley, the, you know, Chris Rock, you know, Kevin Nealon, all of them.
I was after that. I was like
Dennis
Will
Miller.
Ferrell.
Dennis Miller on the Weekend Update.
Huh.
You know, like, you know.
Yeah. I was Tim Meadows, Will Ferrell, Chris Kattan. I really love Chris Kattan. On a Gas Tire, Dratched. That was the crew I really loved. And then in college we had... Lonely Island, and that was like, we would do parties based on whatever Lonely Island song just came out.
I'm trying to keep my opinions to myself on this podcast.
Of you know,
okay, you know what?
You know just what? Find them inferior to what you grew
can
up
I,
on?
Can I, I'll share a story. It's nothing I said.
Mm-hmm.
It is about Chris Kattan.
Oh, yeah.
So when I was in LA, I hosted a show at Flappers, produced a show every Wednesday called Comedy Unibrow and stuff. So Chris Kattan, this was his very first stand-up performance, I think. Like when he was first getting, so I show up and they're like, Chris Kattan's doing, I'm like, oh, that's awesome, right? Like, they're like, he's doing the show. And I'm like, cool. And then my mom happened to be in town visiting and she watches the show and she goes, everybody on the show was really funny except for that Saturday Night Live guy. And I'm like, Mom, no, you can't say that.
Yeah.
But he tours a lot now. He's
tours a lot.
Tours a lot. Brings a lot of people with him.
Which is smart and which is cool when you know what you're working. It's not necessarily that, like,
He wasn't my favorite.
His chops weren't stand-up.
He wasn't my favorite character.
Mm-hmm. And some of those guys, I loved him on the show. I think he was.
Did you?
Yeah, he was very funny. I mean, the Mango, he was just
balls
to the wall funny.
I never got into that. Mm-hmm. He never captured my heart.
I was young, so I really appreciated silly at that age. I didn't need, like, the subversive.
And it wasn't even just the era. It wasn't even just the era, because I liked other people on the show at that time, but. You know, Night at the Roxbury was a great movie, though.
Right.
Huge Will Ferrell fans. So.
I always thought Tim Meadows was very underrated. He was one of my favorite cast members.
Tim is great.
He's great.
I love Tim. And the fact that, like, you know, we have Tim coming up for the second time here. Mm-hmm. We have Kevin coming back for the second time. Like, it's one thing as a club to be able to get some of these people, like, get them in. But then when they come back, you're like, all right.
Kevin. Yeah. And also Kevin loves stand-up.
Yeah.
Kevin really is, he's not, some people do SNL and just hit the road because they never had a movie career. Kevin seems to really enjoy doing stand-up.
He's great at it, too.
He did, he hosted the Golden Goggles, which is the swimming awards banquet, I think 1 or 2 years before I did it. And It's a tough room. It's a really tough room.
As a club owner, like saying like we have Kevin Nealon and Tim Meadows in the same year at the club is such a cool thing, because these are people that you just grew up with. Right. I mean, they're like little bucket list things you didn't even know you should put on a list. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're like, how awesome is this?
Who did you geek out the most booking?
I mean, a lot. I don't even know if there's a most. Dice is always Andrew Dice Clay, Kevin, Tim, Harlan. Really excited to get Tom, Brian Posehn, Tom Papa.
Okay.
Tom Papa was like a huge, you know what I mean? Melissa Villasenor, even though just working, a huge fan, excited when we got her in. Just a lot. I just love comedy.
Yeah, I've been lining up like a child.
I've been in the industry so long, though, so it's really cool, and I have a lot of respect for the art that these people bring. So,
what year did you start doing stand up?
Like 2000.
Wow. What was big then? That was pre Dane.
My pot usage.
What was cool in that scene?
Larry the Cable Guy was massive.
Who were all the comics doing an impression of when you started doing comedy?
People were still doing Al Pacino and Robert De Niro and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. What comics were they stealing their voice from? Because in every era, you'll go to an open mic and every third comic will be like one of two people.
Okay, so like I can answer this from my perspective.
Yes.
When I was a very young writer, I wouldn't use their material, but I would find myself writing in the voice of a George Carlin or a Lewis Black. Like the people that you're like, and it's not like you're stealing, but you're like, these are the voices that you've grown up listening to tell jokes.
Right.
So how would these people tell this joke? Mm-hmm. Right. And then so there was this weird of like writing it in that and then trying to figure out how to put it in your voice and stuff like that. So, but I know other people who would try to, who had that Carlin-esque still as well. So I think because like in Tooth, he was still, I mean, Carlin isn't talked about as much, still thought of as very highly, but he was talked about by everybody. Mm-hmm. He's still very much alive.
Very influential.
Very influential. So you would hear people with that as well. Bill Hicks.
Hicks, I started in Houston, so there was a lot of people trying to do Hicks.
A lot of that Hicksian.
Mm-hmm, which is hard to do. But for the first couple of years, a lot of people were doing, when I started, a lot of people were doing Jeselnik. And this was like, a lot of people are imitating not comics who are on their way to fame, but not there yet. This was like when Jeselnik wasn't a huge name yet. People love doing that one because it's so easy to do in terms
Hedberg.
Everyone's doing Hedberg. Easy to do in terms of, it's not a hard performance. It's like you can kind of hide behind the arrogance and the one line at a time kind of thing. A lot of Hedbergs.
Anthony's so smart too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he just has delightful darkness to him that it's hard to mimic or capture that if you're trying to, if it's not sincere or organic.
He's picked one of the hardest ways to do comedy, which is to do nothing personal, nothing, self-deprecating. And then, just very dark, one line only, you know, it's impressive. I also like that he's talking a lot of shit now pretty openly. He's saying all the things we say behind closed doors, but on podcasts. I'm like, that's nice to hear.
You know? We talked about that last night in the green room a little bit. Just the idea of people opening up a little more, just needing to open up in this industry a little more. Because it was so like such a, this industry was such a clenched butthole for a long time of people being afraid, but there was like a general fear of canceling with social media and filming and what's appropriate and not appropriate to say. And, you know, and I got to sit and watch like topics just like, oh, you can't talk about fat people anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. So I do still love people who can push those envelopes and stuff like that. But then you have people who like Derek Stroop who are just, who carry that anger and carry that energy and JC, and they can do it without being offensive. They've taken my favorite part of almost, because political comics and edgy comics were usually pretty loud and angry and stuff like that. So to be able to take that side of it, but keep it universal with this universal appeal is wonderful.
Do you know Nathan McIntosh?
I have him coming up.
He's incredible. He's my favorite.
He's like 2 weeks.
That kind of just, I'm angry about this and this is how I feel about it. I'm not going to, it's not like, here's a big trick or a sarcastic premise or a cheeky kind. He's just like, this is how I feel about this thing and I'm going to make you feel the way I feel about this thing. It's so impressive to me. It's so the opposite of how I am able to write.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always have to find some like trick. I have to like kind of like do all these little writing tools to cutesily kind of go around how I feel.
You work a little dirty though.
I work a little dirty, yeah, but I don't, rage doesn't come well for me. I can't say these people are stupid and here's what I think is stupid. It comes off as just me being smarmy and condescending. I can't do what Hicks, look at these dumb people. I don't have the gravitas to pull that off. I can make fun of myself plenty and that's very fun.
Do you feel like maybe you challenge people with intellect?
That's what I would like to do. I'd like to take them to the highest they can. I'd like to hold their hand the highest they can go.
He's smart. He's.
I don't know if that's a compliment for a comedian, but like I like, you know, A to C or A to D.
I don't think it's an insult.
I like to present information to you, and I want to see what's the minimum amount of information I can give you, and let you assemble it for yourself. Because I think a joke is giving you a couple pieces and saying, this is enough, and I can give you one clue, and then you put it together in your mind, and that's a very satisfying feeling.
That's great. Letting them kind of figure it out together at
their own pace. And a lot of my jokes are built that we'll give group A a head start, and the people who want to get ahead of me and figure out this joke, they can figure it out on the first beat. And the second beat, we're going to catch up most of the people in the crowd. And on the third beat, I'm basically just going to explain it for anyone who isn't trying to use their brain tonight, but give everyone a different chance to kind of laugh through it.
I'm not going to keep repeating this. I called you attractive once already.
Thank you.
You're also very fit. You seem like healthy.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you to marry me in a second. But then you come in and you're eating cheeseburgers every night and just like, I'm like, I hate this guy. Like in that
level. Cheeseburger's
a meal. It is a meal. Like, do you eat?
I don't drink though. That helps a lot.
Yeah. Do you eat healthy? Do you find keep a healthy balance?
Yeah, I have really bad acid reflux and I've had it since I was 4 years old. So there's just a lot of stuff I can't eat and don't care to because it's so heavy.
You must have had a lot of hair as a baby. That's a pregnancy joke.
What is that?
When babies have a lot of hair, the mothers get bad heartburn.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sounds
so
like,
what I said makes no sense at all.
Sounds like something made up in like Latvia. You did this very hairy baby. I diagnosed you with hairy baby.
Hairy baby. So heartburn is a 4 year old. Okay.
Yeah. I've had heartburn my whole life. So it's like weirdly been a blessing because there's just, I don't like that food because I just see it and I think of the heartburn it will cause.
What kind of foods cause you heartburn?
Alcohol.
Okay. The sugar?
The alcohol.
It's the alcohol, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then especially like a citrusy alcohol. Anything super greasy, like super spicy, like Chinese food or barbecues, really, if it's really greasy and heavy. So I like a good turkey sandwich.
Mild.
I like sweets, but.
Like mild? You have to keep it kind of mild?
Keep it mild, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm lucky with that.
Regular exercise?
I exercise a lot.
Do you?
I try to. I'm very injured right now. I worked out for years and years until everything was broken. I basically would push until something gave and then find something else I could do to work around that until something else gave. And I'm 37 at the end of my rope and now having to just rebuild everything. And I exist in quite a bit of pain on a day-to-day basis.
I've struggled with weight. I think my whole life struggled or just accepted. At a certain point, you just have to. But I was always kind of overweight, so like even to now nobody can really say, well, Dustin really let himself go. Like I have always kind of just bit. But I've made efforts. Like the past year I did, like last year was really good. I lost like 40 pounds.
Congratulations.
I put like 10 back on, and my doctor hasn't loved my vitals and some of my so he wanted to prescribe me Ozempic, which is just a wild. And he gave me the sample box and I sat with it for 6 weeks talking myself out of this thing. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. This isn't what I want to do. And then Monday this week, I took my first shot of it.
Good for you. I'm a big advocate of it.
Are you?
I think it's great. I have not had to work that hard. I'm pretty disciplined about exercise. I'm pretty disciplined about what I eat, but weight has not been a struggle for me the way it is for a lot of people. And I have a pretty good metabolism. You've seen me eat burgers every night. That's something I can do.
Delicious burgers.
I don't know why anyone wouldn't deserve a better metabolism. Some people are just, we love to think of metabolism as some, like, you deserve this kind of thing. No, some people just have fast metabolism.
It slows down your metabolism. From what I understand,
it slows down your digestion.
The digestion. Mm-hmm. Okay, okay, okay.
I think it's great, and I think so many people are already on it. I think a lot of the people, I think a lot of celebrities we saw lose weight like 10, 20 years ago were just doing it when it was very much in its beta form.
Before anybody
really. Guinea-pigging it before it was past any drug trials.
I mean, I know a lot of people that have lost a lot of weight with it. Like, yeah. And like.
Dude, bodybuilders take it. Did you know bodybuilders, when they're trying to cut before a competition, they're like, well, this makes this part easier.
Really?
Yeah. What I really want to know is, now that being skinny is going to be an easier thing, what is going to look better then? I had proposed online on Reddit. I just posted kind of randomly and anonymously how I think that because hair loss is so treatable now, that I think men who bald gracefully are going to become more of a standard of beauty, since everyone can have full hair if they want it.
Right here.
Yeah.
Right here. It's going to be hot. I'll show you. Right there, dude. It's just
a unicorn horn.
Just a little unicorn. Well,
that's the one place you're supposed to keep it. You get that little island up front.
I want to do something about it.
Yeah.
I do. Like, it's when my hair is long and I pull it back, it's very noticeable. When I don't, I don't do a comb over, but it does just grow over and you can't really. And when I had a hawk, you couldn't really see it because it was up. But I'm aware of it. I would like something to do there. It's probably just going to. I don't really care about this, the widow's peak, but. Like, okay, that's a thing, but this is going to bug me.
Yeah.
That's going to bug me right there.
Just get the smallest hair graft ever.
Is that all you have to do?
Just a silver dollar's worth of hair grafting.
Can you do that?
Yeah. Good turkey.
But you're right about a lot of people using it and a lot of people getting thinner. Like, I've seen friends who lose hundreds of pounds. I've seen friends lose 60 pounds, like, you know, and they're this, you know, people talk about side effects. I had one
side effects.
So like stomach paralyzation stuff, just different. But a lot of those like more severe side effects are coming from people with very specific pre-existing conditions. It's not the general, you know, like, hey, let's get this blood sugar, let's take care of this, let's, you know,
there's such an emotional reaction to Ozempic, the idea that you can just be skinny now without effort for a pretty small fee. People are so repulsed by it.
But
even you don't like the idea of, like, you feel like it's cheating. What's your issue with it?
I do feel like it's cheating, but also,
well, isn't having being born with a fast metabolism cheating too?
I love cooking and feasting, and I love food, and but I do see that I can still enjoy these good foods and still cook and still eat. You just eat less and you think about less often, you know. Like, it took about a week, but honestly, the last couple of days I have noticed the lack of hunger, where I'm like, oh, but I should probably eat.
What a good feeling.
You know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because America has been known as fat so long, and just that I hear the conversation, a lot of people are moving towards healthier eating, cleaner eating, protein, different kind of diets, all sorts of kind of diets. And now with Ozempic really helping people take it off, I mean, I think my feed is flooded with, just probably because I watched a couple, but now it's flooded with people getting the skin surgery, having skin removed, the loose skin.
Oh, yeah, because they lost so much weight.
They lost so much weight and the surgery. And I think we as a country are moving into a more positive direction. And hey, if this little pinprick once a week can help a lot of people and help.
It's going to extend lives. It's going to relieve the burden on our healthcare system caused by all of the diseases that come from obesity.
We won't be thought of as the fat, stupid Americans anymore. Yeah. We're just going to be the stupid Americans.
Well, obesity is picking up everywhere, so it's not just an American thing anymore.
We just passed it on to them. Yeah. You take this, we're just going to get thin again.
It is freaky how many fit people there are online.
It's like the clothes we send to the third world countries. Like, you wear the clothes of the sports teams we don't watch anymore.
Exactly.
We're going to get...
But it's freaky how the social media gives us this ridiculous perception of someone was like, do you think Chris Hemsworth is on steroids? I'm like, I think Paul Rudd is on steroids. Everyone you see with their shirt off on social media or in movies is like doing and is wearing makeup on their abs. There's such a poor perception. I swam for years. I worked for a college swim team. My wife was a pro swimmer. Even people at that level don't have ideal bodies. Even people who are the best swimmers in the world don't look the way those beach bodies do. That's not a natural or even healthy thing in a lot of those cases to look like that. People are going to look how they're going to look, and it's. I think we should be judging bodies more by what they're capable of than how much they fit some perfect.
Dude, chart weight's a scary thing because, like, if people say, like, oh, well, you're this tall, you should weigh this much. I'm like, well, that's not 100%. And if we just have a whole society of people just trying to weigh their chart weight, that's going to be a lot of very unhappy people.
Yeah.
You know, like people, like my chart says I should weigh 160 pounds. Like, in what, because I'm my height, and I'm like, which is 5'1". No. but it's like, I'll never weigh 160 pounds. Yeah. I don't know if I want to be that skinny. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I was 5 pounds for my first goal weight, and then just, I could never, and then just slowly put that 10 back on.
Well, when I come back. And then you've done the Ozempic.
We'll I better see. Be 162 pounds.
With the Ozempic, it's gonna be easier.
Yeah. So you have a new special out?
Yeah, Hyperbolic on YouTube.
Okay.
I poured 8 years into it. I didn't put out. I was ready to do something before the pandemic, and it didn't happen. So I was just like, let's just polish the shit out of this. And it was I got to do, you know, like 8 years worth of jokes and pretty tight. Was pretty happy with it.
Where'd you film it?
Littlefield in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah. It was my first full-length special. It was very fun to put out.
Did you produce it?
Mm-hmm. I was very happy.
And then you just...
Jason Katz directed and...
Yeah. Okay. And then you just really... It's on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Hyperbolic?
Hyperbolic.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's it doing?
It's doing well. It's doing okay. It's a special, and the clips have done very well, so it's been... I've been touring a lot better since I put it out, which
That's
is
That's
nice.
What it is, the clips. Mm-hmm. I love the new special. Mm-hmm. I've seen a few clips, like...
What I've started doing now is I put out a lot of clips, and I'm like, I kind of hate this because a lot of these jokes aren't just a minute long. There's like, it's three or four big sections. So I've been putting out things as 5 minute chunks and 7 minute chunks and 9 minute chunks and just saying, well, it's not going to get as many views, but what if people actually watch the whole thing? I think that's what I'm trying to show people. So I'm trying to push things back to that was when I started, which was 2011, that was considered short form. 5 minutes was a short form set. Yeah. You had to have a minimum 5 minutes to put something on late night, which was your only chance of having stuff out there for the world to see.
Now 30 to 90 seconds.
You would never do that. It was not a considered thing. You wouldn't put out a 30 second joke. Like, what are you doing? Take that down. You put out a 5 minute late night set that was hopefully on one thing. And now 5 minutes is long form. Oh my God, a 5 minute joke with punchlines after each other. That's not sought out much.
I almost feel like people don't need the long form. Like these podcasts, like people will just watch the shorts and the reels that we release.
Yeah.
Come in all the time. They come in, hey dude, love the podcast, watch it all the time. Mm-hmm. And all they're watching are these shorts and the reels and stuff.
I know. So many people come in like, I've watched all your clips. I'm like, they're all from one special. You could watch all of
just
that
watch
and see
the
everything.
Episode.
Yeah.
Watch the episode.
But I still think so much of great comedy for me was 5 minute stuff, or hours are great, but like Gullman, that state's abbreviations bit will stay with me forever. It's a perfect joke, or the role play joke, like that kind of one medium length, one topic. That is the most impressive thing to me. That's how you can make me a fan.
Sierra, there's no way this has already been 29 minutes. Oh my God. This is just flew, man. What a great conversation.
Thanks, man.
Whether it's the short form or the long form, go watch Matthew Broussard. Check out Hyperbolic on YouTube. What's your social media?
At Monday Punday.
At Monday Punday. We got one more show tonight, and then we're going to do it again. We'll get you back out here.
I'd love that. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. For Matthew Broussard, subscribe. It's the Comedy Club Podcast. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for booking comics.
You're welcome. Wow, that went really quick. Easy.